And I want to talk about last year briefly. Last year, we had some unprecedented hail here in Colorado, especially in Fort Collins. There was a big storm that swept through and damaged a whole lot of roofs, mine included. And as a result, you know, many people have filed insurance claims, and we have too. And just this week, in fact, our roofers came and installed our roof. It was our time in the schedule to do the replacement. So they came and did that. So that fasts forward from a year ago to present date. And that happened pretty much on Thursday. And on Thursday, in order to replace a roof, what they have to do is take off the gutters. Those are going to be replaced too, in fact. And that is the source of my story today, the gutters, my rain gutters. I hadn't given much thought to my rain gutters until Thursday. Rain gutters do a very important thing, I learned. They take the water from the roof and they put it someplace else. If you don't have rain gutters, the rain falls off the roof and it goes directly down close to the foundation of the home. So Thursday evening, we have a big rainstorm, and my son, oldest son, was in my office with me, which is in the basement, and he was getting up from his computer, which is there, and he walked around the back edge, and he said, "Dad, my feet feel wet." And I said, "Why would they feel wet?" Sure enough, we had a little bit of rain seeping, not terribly like standing water, but we had enough rain seep in through the foundation of the home so that it soaked my carpet, soaked a bunch of other stuff that was on the carpet, just generally made a mild mess for me to deal with. All because we didn't have gutters. So, knowing that we were receiving this rain, I didn't want to have this turn into a bigger problem. We still don't have these rain gutters. If we get rain, and I expect that we will get rain before I have new gutters installed, that means that I will be at risk of having even more flooding in my basement. It just happens. It's going to happen, unless I would have done something. So yesterday afternoon, I hastily thought about what I could do. I was in a position where I had to be creative. I don't have rain gutters sitting around. They took those. I didn't have enough time to really call anybody to do anything about it, and nothing's going to be installed. So I had to figure something out. I had to adapt to the situation. And that is what my sermonette today is about. It's about adapting. I don't know if this is the best story that covers a great solution of adaptation, but I will tell you what I did. I went out and I bought $12 worth of lumber and plastic sheets, and I made a kind of makeshift, I don't even know what to call it. It's just kind of attached to the side of the house underneath the shingles, and it goes down to the ground so that any water will not go directly down. It will kind of go out. We'll see if it works. I'll get back to you with another story, I'm sure, when it doesn't. But I had to adapt. I had to figure out something to do, given the resources that I had. In our Christian lives, we will face some very difficult circumstances. Circumstances that where we just don't know what to do. Things will seem impossible. We'll have to figure out what we can do. We might be backed up against a wall. We might be in a really difficult and impossible situation. But we will have to ask ourselves, how can we adapt to our circumstances without compromising what we believe and do what's right and follow through and achieve our goals, our Christian goals? Now, we can do that. We can try to adapt so that we can charge forward and work towards our success, succeeding in our goals. Or we can allow ourselves to become discouraged and give up. And that's what Satan wants. He wants us to become discouraged and give up our Christian way of living and turn back to the world and live a way of life of sin. We need to adapt to circumstances if we want to overcome sin. Paul faced some really serious difficulties in his ministry. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 11, and let's just read a brief summary of some of the things that he experienced. Second Corinthians 11, and I'll begin in verse 22. Paul writes this: "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant." And this is where it becomes interesting. "In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which come upon me daily." And we know that Paul did struggle daily with the thorn in his side, the pain that he endured. "My deep concern for all the churches, who is weak, am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation." I will stop there. Paul describes some really difficult situations here. This summarizes it. You can read through the book of Acts and you can read in more detail. I spent some time doing that this week and it really was fascinating. I'll have a few places where we'll go in a moment. But with all of these perils that he experienced, he never gave up. He continued his ministry. He really dealt with the situation at hand. As he mentioned, he was in shipwrecks and prisons. What can you do when you are in prison? What did he do? We can find out as we proceed here. I'd like to turn over to Acts 20 and read verses 22 through 24. And we can read about Paul's attitude. Attitude turns out to be one of the most critical things that we can adjust if we want to learn how to adapt to impossible circumstances. Our attitude needs to be adaptive. Acts 20, beginning in verse 22. "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul knew what he was going to do. He had a plan. But he was willing to deal with whatever was about to happen. He was going to Jerusalem. That's right. And he knew he was going to be facing some very difficult situations, but none of that mattered. He knew that he was going to have to adapt and deal with some weird, difficult situations. None of those impossible circumstances moved him. None of them put him at fear, because he knew that he had a much greater purpose to fulfill. Let's turn over to back a few pages to Acts 16:16. Let's see. Actually, I'm going to go down to Acts 16:20. So this describes Paul and Silas, and they were traveling. And in one of the cities, they met some adversity. And this is one of the results on Acts 16:20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. He's in prison. What's he going to do? What would you do? Would you become discouraged? Would you give up at this point? Let's read what Paul and Silas did. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing that the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" After being beaten with rods, after becoming imprisoned, not only imprisoned, but in the inner prison rooms, in with your feet in stocks, he was imprisoned, right? Lockdown. What did he do? They sang and they prayed, and they encouraged the other prisoners. The prisoners listened, so much so that the prison keeper, you know, came to conversion, apparently, here. Paul and Silas had a clear purpose and a goal. They adapted to their circumstances, and they continued to do what they set out to do, to preach the gospel to the world. Even when they were in prison, they adapted. We can read many other stories. One of my favorites is when Paul becomes shipwrecked. He becomes shipwrecked, and he's on a strange island. This is in Acts 27 and 28. I'm not going there. He's on some strange island, doesn't know where he is at all. It turns out to be Malta. And what does he do there? He meets with the people there, heals them, and spreads the word, the good news. He never stopped. He took that. He takes these situations of adversity as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Our plans must be able to adapt as well. Just as Paul knew that he was going to Jerusalem, he didn't know what to expect. He had an attitude of being adaptive to circumstances. We too must do that. I'll cite one of my favorite scriptures. This is Proverbs 16:9. "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." What this means is that our plans need to be clear. Our goals need to be firmly established. What we want to do should be very clear to us in our Christian way of life. But then we need to let God take over. We need to let God direct our steps. God is going to present us with circumstances. He's right there beside us, in control of many of our circumstances, if not all of them. God will guide us and direct us to achieve our goals if they really are righteous and in according with his will. Romans 8:28, another familiar scripture I'll read to you. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God has a purpose too. When our will is in accordance with his will, everything in our lives works together towards that goal, that common goal that God and you and I have together. The strange, difficult situations that we face, trials or adversity, these things, according to Romans 8:28 here, they're custom made. Everything works together for good. Not bad. Turn with me over to Ecclesiastes 7:14. For another scripture that is very similar, Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed one as well as the other. I'll stop there. All of our situational circumstances are managed by God. The adversity that we face may seem like an obstacle to us, but it needs to be something else. Knowing that God wants us to succeed, and knowing that He has control over our circumstances, as we read here, we should be encouraged, brethren. Our adversity is our opportunity for us to adapt.